Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast, episode 23. I'm your host, P. Costanis, and this program is brought to you by Charlie Perfume from Revlon. And here is a commercial from the 1970s.
There's a fragrance that's here today, and they call Charlie. A different fragrance that thinks your way, yeah, they call it Charlie. Kinda young, kinda now, Charlie. Kinda free, kinda wow, Charlie. Kinda fragrance that's gonna stay, and it's here now, Charlie.
Charlie by Revlon, a most original fragrance.
Okay, thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed that little commercial. I used to watch this ad for Charlie Perfume from Revlon many times. Used to broadcast it in the late 70s, and they would show the commercials on classic TV shows like Three's Company, The Love Boat, Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, Soap. Welcome back, Carter. What's famous about this commercial is it featured the actress Shelley Heck. She was a model and an actress, and she was famous for appearing one season on Charlie's Angels. And her character's name was Tiffany Wells. And the audience didn't like her for some reason, so she only lasted 1 year. And She went on to a successful career. She starred in a lot of TV shows, movies, and she's still acting today, I believe. And the singer who's singing in the commercial is a cabaret singer named Bobby Short. And he died in 2005. He was a wonderful singer, and I think most people just remember him from that commercial, which is amazing. Charlie Perfume is still made to this day. You don't see it advertised on TV like it did in the old days, but it's still around, so you can still buy a bottle. Okay. Today I will talk about a few things. Let's see. The first thing I will talk about is Turnstile. Discount stores. Used to be called Turnstile Family Center stores. I'll give you a little history of that. It was not founded in Chicago, but it was founded in Lynn, Massachusetts in 1957. And they started opening up in the East Coast. And the first one that opened here, I believe, was 1962. And the first store that opened, I believe it was opened at the Foster Harlem Shopping Center, located, of course, on Foster Avenue and Harlem Avenue. So, and then it opened up more stores in the area. I have a list of stores that open in Chicago. Let's see. We have... It was on North Avenue in Costner. It was at 87th Street by the Dan Ryan, at 115th Street in Halsted. And, of course, the one that's well-known to me and most people was at Ford City Shopping Center. And I will get back to that in a second. I'll talk about the Ford City store. In suburban locations, the next location was open in Skokie. And then Arlington Heights, Deerfield, Glendale Heights, Niles, and then Westmont. Oh, and Schaumburg, of course. I'm sorry. Okay. It did open in Indiana and Maryville. Okay. Now, I'll talk a little bit about the one in that was located in Fort City. That opened, I'm not sure, maybe around 1969 or 70. When I moved into the area in 74, that was the first time I saw it. And it was right next to Jewel. At the time, Fort City had they had two grocery stores. They had a National Foods that wasn't there. It opened in that opened in when Fort City opened in 1965 in August. And that closed a little after when I moved in the area. And then Jewel was there. I think Jewel opened in 65. I'm not sure. Maybe later on. And then, no, I think it just, they opened the Jewel when Turnstile opened. So they were adjacent to one another. And my mother shopped there all the time at Turnstile and Jewel, of course. And I remember two things from the store. I think maybe I mentioned it on a previous podcast episode where I remember where they have the photo booths and also like a booth where you can watch cartoons. And I remember there was Droopy the dog, some Terrytoon cartoons. Now I remember. And I remember I bought one of my first comic books there, and there was one issue. It was called The Batman Family, issue number, the 8. And it showed, on the cover, it showed Robin the Boy Wonder with Catwoman. Only it wasn't Catwoman, it was Catgirl. And claims to be Catwoman's daughter. But at the end of the story in the comic book, there's a surprise, and it really isn't her. So you'll see. So I don't want to spoil it to all the comic book fans. And that store lasted about late 70s, I would think 78, 79. I like the store very much. I've been posting photos of the store, even from the Skokie location. There's a few that shows from the Blizzard of 1967. And I found one from the Foster Harlem location, which is really cool. I like that. And the location at Fort City, when Turnstile closed, a Venture took over. And when I was a teenager at Bogan High School, I did apply there at Venture. I didn't get the job, but it remained at Fort City for many years, all during the 80s. It was there. So that's it. But I will talk about Venture in another episode. I'll go in more detail. So there's another wonderful store that went to retail heaven. Okay, the next thing I will talk about is a restaurant. It's called Agostino's, Italian restaurant. I didn't find much information from that. Someone told me, excuse me. The restaurant was located at 7 East Delaware Place in Chicago, right near Water Tower Place. I think there was another location on State Street, not too far from there, or maybe they had two locations. I don't know. Anyway, I found a menu of that a while back, maybe a few days ago. And so maybe I'll take a quick look at it. And I'll tell you who owned the restaurant. You can look up here. And it was called the Siak. I can't pronounce the name. I got to go into more information. Excuse me. There we go. It was owned by two brothers, I believe, Andy and Gus Sciacqua. My Italian's really bad, so I don't know how to pronounce it. But it's on the inside of the menu, it said it was there for a long, long time. Their menu had authentic Tuscan surroundings and great Italian cuisine. So I'm going to look and see what they have in the menu. I have the menu consisted of the wine list, which was very interesting. It had these are cocktails. They had imported wine from maybe Italy, maybe Germany. They also served after dinner drinks, which was aperitifs. Okay, and then let's look up at the menu real quick. Okay. So they made some homemade Italian dishes. They had the usual ravioli, manicotti, baked lasagna, and their specialties, they had a lot of wonderful things like that. And they had chicken cacciatore, veal scallopini, all kinds of veal scallopines, but they made it with different recipes with that. And their main Specialty was veal. I had a lot of veal. They had lobster, chicken. They had chicken Vesuvio, which I like. And let's see what else. Italian sausages and eggplant parmesan. Oh, that sounds wonderful. I don't know when the restaurant closed, but I believe they built a new building there. So a restaurant, but few people remembered it. They really do. They remember the food, and some people mentioned when they had their high school proms in the city, they went there for their receptions or after the prom, and they said it was wonderful food. And oh, and they had the chef specials. I didn't look at that. They had chicken tartrazzini. Let's see, lobster tail thermidor. Mm, that sounds wonderful. And chicken livers. A lot of people don't like liver. I do. So, and so that's good. But there's another one that has a similar name of that. And I'm trying to look up the name of that. It's, oh, yes. And it was somewhere up in Harlem Avenue. So it's, oh, yes, it's Ristorante Agostino. So it's, I don't think it's the same thing. I don't think so, unless someone can correct me on that. Okay. Okay. Another thing I will talk about is, I posted a brochure, and it was from the Lake Tower Motel. The Lake Tower Motel was located at 600 North Lakeshore Drive. And, when you think of motels, sometimes motels are seedy and low cost, but this one was fancy at the time. And it was built, I don't know when exactly it was built, probably in the 50s. And I'm sure it had a beautiful view of Lake Michigan when you stayed there. And according from the photos I posted, they had a swimming pool on top of the roof or like that, and they advertise that a lot. And then you would see the neon sign as you drive on Lakeshore Drive, and you would see Lake Tower Motel. In later years, they dropped the motel and they turned it into a hotel. And the funny thing about it, about this motel, is the entrance. And they built a like a mouth of a shark on the entrance, because it was due to the effect of the popularity of the 1975 movie Jaws. So when you enter the hotel, you know, you walk in with his teeth. Oh, this, you know, that movie still scares me. I saw it once, the first time at Fort City Cinema when it came out. When I saw the first scene, I was scared to death. I hardly saw the movie. I had my eyes closed. And I still refuse to watch it. You know, I can't. It makes me so nervous. I don't know why. It's just I don't like going in the water. I'm not a beach person. And also in the hotel, they had the Coho Lounge. I think a lot of people remember that. And later on, the hotel changed to a Best Western. And then eventually it got torn down. And now I think it's just a new high-rise. They built like they have. And some people remembered the motel very well. And there were a lot of motels along the lakefront. I think there was a Shoreline Motel or Shoreland. I don't know. So when I do some more research, I will discuss that. Okay. Next thing I will talk about is something a lot of people in the old days remembered, and I certainly do when I was little, but many people today, young people, will not remember, is a weatherman. His name was P.J. Hoff. And every time I post something about P.J. Hoff, it always puts a smile on everyone's faces, and they just loved the man when he did the weather. He started in the 1950s on television on WBBM TV Channel 2. And he was there in the 50s and 60s. And a lot of people, one person asked me, what was his real name? And I looked it up. His real name was Piercy J. Hofstrom. And he was not from Chicago. He was from a town called Mounds, Oklahoma. And he studied electrical engineering at the University of Washington, and he worked for Pacific Telephone Telegraph Company. And then he moved to St. Paul, Minnesota, and as a columnist and cartoonist. So I don't know if he went to school learning to draw or do caricatures. Maybe he learned on his own, but he was very talented on that. And then he was on the radio at St. Paul. Then he moved to Chicago, and then he spoke on WBM radio and also on Channel 2. And what's funny about that, what he was famous for was his maps, which he hand-drawn himself. And he would place funny pictures of the sun, the clouds, umbrellas. You know, it was so funny. And there was the, what was it called? There was a cartoon visitor. His name was Mr. Yell and Cuss. I don't know the real history of that, so that must have been funny. And he also had the vice president in charge of looking out the window, which is kind of funny, sort of cute in a way. And also, P.J. Hoff started a children's show in 1955, and it was called P.J. and Patty. And the co-host, her name was Patty Parable. I don't know much about that. And his co-star narrated a story, and P.J. Hoff would illustrate the story, and he would draw on the maps or like that. And I wish I'd seen a copy of that, of the show. That would have been interesting. Also, his maps sometimes ended up on eBay, and I found a couple of them that were sold for auction. There was one a few months ago. It was from 1955, and another one was from, and then I just found one that was sold at auction in 1959. And he also had a P.J. Hoff weather kit, and that was sold, I don't know if it was sold in stores, maybe it was, or he would say it on the air, and you would probably show the address of the TV station, and you would send in with money to pay it. I don't know how that worked at the time. A funny thing, well, not a funny thing, but a most endearing thing is when my mother and father got married in 1962, and they married in Greece, and they came to America. My dad lived here before, but this was my first time. My mom was in America, and she knew nobody. And no English, and it was tough. And she was lonely and alone. So the most company she had was television. And one of the first people she saw on TV was P.J. Hoff. And I believe she told me the other person was Lee Phillip. And she also learned English watching the game show Password. And she loves that game show, and I still do, and I do too. And I mean, she does to this day. And that's how she learned English words. So anyway, when she saw P.J. Hoff on TV, she was fascinated by him, and she didn't understand what he said, but she understood the maps. So he was very helpful with that, and she found it fascinating to watch. And a lot of people do. And so that man was very interesting. He retired in 1968. And the one who was a successor was John Coughlin. And he took over the weather. And he was there on Channel 2 many, many years. I will talk about John Coughlin in a later day. And so he retired, and then he would just went on vacation for a long time with his wife. And so he remained in Chicago for a while, and then he retired in Georgia. And it was at the Golden Isles in the state of Georgia. So, and he died in 1981 at the age of 85 at St. Simon's Island in Georgia. But, you know, when you watch the weather today, some of the women were very entertaining. Some are too serious. But there were other weathermen that I watched over the years that were just like a friend to you. And one was like Harry Volkman. I will talk about him in a later episode. I mean, John Coleman. He made, when he was on WLS, he made weather interesting and fun to watch. And there were others, Jim Tillman, Jerry Taff, all of them have passed away, which is sad. But Harry Volkman was one of my favorites, and I wrote a story about him on my blog, AdvantageChicagoland.blog, and I am friends with his son, Eddie Volkman. I do talk to him online, and he's a nice man, and he makes me laugh, so because you know him as on the radio from Joe Bo and Eddie on B96, and the Eddie's still on the radio, entertaining. Yeah. Okay, so that'll be all for today. I'm glad you enjoy this program and me discussing it. Like I said many times, I do get nervous and I ramble a little bit. I hope to get better, and I hope to improve the show, maybe add a little sound effects or maybe an extra commercial on it just to make it fascinating. And I will do another episode probably this weekend. And so we're getting close to it. I will do 25 shows per season. So we're on number 23. So I got a couple more, and that'll be season one. And then I'll start season two after that. Okay. So this is Vanished Chicagoland Stories, episode 23. And this is Pico Stanis, your host, for this wonderful episode, and I will hope to see you soon on the next episode, and bye-bye for now, and take it away, Ray Rayner.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.